Welcome to the Christian Ministry Church Podcast. We're praying that this message equips and empowers you to live in the kingdom of God. Now for today's sermon by Pastor Tim Brooks.
I can't tell you how much I love our church. And I don't know if you think about this, but obviously I think about it all the time. What is happening here is a phenomenon. You don't see this everywhere. A church full of young people, a church full of middle age, a church full of us older folks. And the reason you don't see what we're doing here very often is because it's hard. It's really hard. It's hard to play music and to worship like a 20 and a 30-year-old likes to. It's hard to play music and worship like a 40 to 60-year-old likes to. And it's hard to play music and worship like a 70-plus likes to. And here's what I want you to know. For everyone that tells me, and this last week, a lady left our church because the music was way too long, way too loud, and worship was just way too much. For everyone that tells me that, there is someone that tells me, I just wish we could worship so much more. We just don't worship enough. I just wish we could. For everyone, and so what we're doing here is hard. I get this. To do what we're doing here, and I believe, well, I'm convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt, what we're doing here is the church. That this is the church. God created us all age. We're not born one age. God put us in families, and we're in all age. And to do that, everybody will have to make concessions for a bigger picture. Younger people, you'll have to make some concessions. Older people, you'll have to make some concessions because you see a bigger picture of what God is doing in and with and through this ministry. The number of young people we're raising K through the 12th grade school, that doesn't happen without this church and large financial support from it. The number of young people that we have in three different buildings here on Wednesday night, the number of young people we have in here weekend after weekend for retreats, the youth summer camps that we have. I just stopped my truck in the road and started crying last Monday night. I don't know, 80, 90 people running around this campus. I just stopped and cried on Monday night. Run all ages out here. My goodness, what is happening here is amazing. And we're all going to have to work together. All of us will have to work together to make this work. Just so you will know, because I know many of you don't know, I want you to raise your hand when I call you out and hold it up. Have you had back surgery? Have you had hip surgery? Have you had a shoulder surgery? Have you had a heart attack? Do you have stents? Do you have a knee surgery? Have you fought cancer? Who has pins and rods? And look around. Look at all these hands. Here's what you need to know. We can't stand on a concrete sloped floor for 25 minutes. I can't do that. I can't do that. And I can't raise my arm, but you know, I thought maybe I should start worshiping with just no shirt and my bathing suit on. So you could see this scar that runs down my arm, this scar that runs up my back, this knee's twice the size of that knee. Maybe that, don't look over here and say, ooh, Pastor Tim's not even worshiping today. I wonder if he's saved. I'm blessed that I got this much movement, okay? Here's what you need to know. If I laid on the floor, it would take four of you to get me up. Can I get an amen? I'm not the only one here. I mean, it's like, okay. 20-year-olds, don't judge us. I'm going to sit down. And I pray that I live long enough to see how you're doing when you've gone through all that I've gone through. And I better see you here still kind of trying to do whatever you can do. See, here's what you 20-year-olds need to know. Us sitting, in fact, are praising harder and louder than you ever will. because we're just thanking God we were able to get up and get dressed and get here today. That's a major miracle for some of us. And you don't have any idea what's going on in my heart. God, I'm still able to button my own shirt. And sometimes that's iffy. For those of us who got to sit down, don't feel guilty. Don't you feel bad. And don't you feel uncomfortable and feel like you have to leave this church because you sit down. Jason, there's no shame that you weren't dancing like Bergen today. Just be at peace with that. Come on, we're all going to have to work together to do what God's called this ministry to do. And there's no doubt about it. What we're experiencing here is the church. It is the body of Christ. This is biblical. This is God's plan. It's the way God designed it. And all of us are going to have to work together. We don't go to church. We are the church. And there's a big difference. Thank you. Thank each of you for being a member of the body of Christ. And I'm just asking you, you refuse to let preferences and styles keep you from being a member of this body of Christ. You just refuse to. You sit, you stand, you jump up and down. Those that can lay on the floor, I'll just look at you and think, wow, I hope they can get up. You do whatever it is that you do, but you come in here and touch God. You come in here and hear from God. You receive an encounter with the Holy Spirit when you come in here and you do whatever that is that you can do. Our purpose in here in this church is to lead each of you into His presence and to have you leave here having had an encounter with the Lord. That's our purpose, and that's the commission that's on this church. Thank you. Thank you for being a member of this church. Thank you for being a part. You bet. You bet. Thank you. As we are being the church, and just something else, our connections. And I just stopped out on the road watching some 90 people run around this campus and all. That's the church. That's our connections, our relationships with each other. What's happening here? That's what church is all about. And I want to remind you, but I'm so thrilled about our coffee shop. The people that are coming early on Sunday morning, that come early on Wednesday night, just to sit in there for 30 minutes before we start. That's the church, connecting and meeting one another and visiting a little bit. I want to remind you that the coffee shop is open 7 days a week. 5 days a week from 7 to 11. Now, you know that. If you got a meeting with your building contractor, hey, let's meet at the coffee shop. And let's go over these house plans. If two or three of you ladies are getting together to meet, hey, let's meet down at our church. I want us to use whatever we can to get people in the doors of this church. And if you'll bring your contractor, if you'll bring your friends here for a meeting, what's going to come up in the conversation is, well, what's this church all about? And be an open door for you. Use our coffee shop from 7 to 11, Monday through Friday, to come and to meet, to hang out, to touch with people. Some of you work on the internet. You spend hours on the internet. We have internet here. Come, put your headphones on, get on your computer, and just use this as a workstation. And we want to invite you here 5 days a week in our church. Also, one last thing, as you came in, all of the Esther cards out there on the table. It wasn't a year ago, I think it was last summer, our performing arts group did a Wednesday night and enacted Esther, and it was just wow. It was so funny, it was so good, it was so powerful, it was so engaging as they were keeping Esther alive for us. And I just told them, I said, we got to turn that into a production. And they went to work writing more characters, more script, and now we've got a huge show. It's going to be a full-fledged production, and that's only 3 weeks out. They've been working for months getting this ready. Lots of work. Now, our job is to get people here. I want every one of you to take a few of those cards, take a stack of those cards with you, put them in your break room, put them on your bulletin board, hand them out. Invite friends, invite a family. The Saturday afternoon matinee. Here, let's go to the matinee, and then after the show, we'll all go out to eat together. Let's do what we can to get people in church and seeing the word come alive. Wow, what a message this is. I want to make sure that we do our part. Y'all get those cards today and let's get them passed out. We're only 3 weeks away from that happening. Well, it's Palm Sunday. It's Palm Sunday, and today begins what is called Holy Week. This is the day, a little over 2,000 years ago, that Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the colt of a donkey. Today starts the events of the week. Each day, today, all through this week, start the events that lead us up to next Sunday, Easter Sunday morning, the day we celebrate his resurrection. Parents, remember, we've been talking about this. Saturday from 10 to noon, all of our children will be down here hunting Easter eggs, the symbol of life. There'll be something sweet in there because when you find new life, you'll find it is sweet. Our children's workers will be teaching on why we're doing what we're doing. Boy, it'll be a time of celebration down here. All week is a week of celebration as we celebrate Holy Week with no argument. With no argument, this is the most important week in the history of the world, and I'm going to continue to teach on Holy Week. Every year I'll be talking about this same thing because it saddens me. I told our staff the other day, and all of them just stared at me because all of them are young. They were shocked, but I told them it has not been but 30 years more or less that you even heard the term spring break. I remember distinctly hearing spring break, and it was so weird to me. I never heard of that word, spring break. For generations, it was Easter. We were out for a week of Easter, and we were out for Christmas break. That's the way the world ran. And so now to do away and to silence Jesus, now we're going to go to spring break, and we're going to go to winter break. The problem they had with winter break is, at winter break, the world doesn't spend billions of dollars to celebrate winter break. So we conceded and kind of had to, okay, well, Merry Xmas or something. We got to do whatever we can do to keep the economy stirred like it does, simply because God so loved the world he gave, and as a celebration of that, we give to the ones that we love. That's what that's all about. So we kind of held on to a little bit of Christmas, but Holy Week's gone. It's just spring break. And we were out last week for spring break. And now this next week, it's business as usual. And that's just a new phenomenon as we've taken Jesus out of the picture here. This is the most important week of the year. And I say that because there's been a lot of children born. There's been a lot of religious leaders born. And I love Christmas. It's a huge celebration. Jesus had to be born or he wouldn't be here. But there's been a lot of people born, but there's only been one that rolled that stone back. There's only been one that rolled that stone back, and that's what this is all about. That's what this is all about. If you came in today, the greeters passed you out a reading card. For those that have been a member of our church for 30 years, you have a drawer full of these cards. And if you're here for 30 more years, and I'm here for 30 more years, you'll continue to get these cards because this is important. This is our reading for this week as we celebrate Holy Week. Every year, we're going to read this. On Monday, you need to know what happened. On Tuesday, you need to know what happened. I encourage you to read this to begin your day, each day of this week, so that you'll know what we're talking about. I'm going to get us started with our assignment for today. Matthew 21, verse 1. Our reading assignment for today on Palm Sunday. If you see on your card, today's reading, it comes from Matthew chapter 21, verse 1. Here we go. This is what happened today. As Jesus and the disciples approached Jerusalem, they came to the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of them on ahead. "Go into that village over there," he said. "As soon as you enter it, you will see a donkey tied there with its colt beside it. Untie them, bring them to me. If anyone asks, 'What are you doing?' just say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he'll immediately let you take them." This took place to fulfill the prophecy that said, "Tell the people of Jerusalem, 'Look, your king is coming to you. He is humble, riding on a donkey's colt. The two disciples did as Jesus commanded. They brought the donkey and the colt to him and threw their garments over the colt, and he sat on it. Most of the crowd spread their garments on the road ahead of him, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Jesus was in the center of the procession, and the people all around him were shouting, "Praise God for the Son of David. Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Praise God in the highest heaven." The entire city of Jerusalem was in an uproar as he entered. "Who is this?" they replied. And the crowds replied, "It's Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Terry, I, several others that were with us, we were right there. We were right there in that olive grove. We walked right down that street. We saw right where this happened. I want you to know this isn't a story. This is a historical event that took place. And we've been right there to see where this took place. There's so much to see in our readings each day this week. So much to see that we could just talk on for countless hours and never exhaust all of the truth that is in here. This is the first time in 33 years of Jesus' earthly life that he allowed people to praise him and to honor him. This was the proclamation of Jesus being king. Now, if you'll remember throughout his ministry, Jesus would do a miracle. He'd say, "Now don't tell anybody. Go show yourself to the priest. Don't tell them." See, he didn't let people praise him. Jesus was born and Jesus lived a man. Now, a lot of us have trouble. We know Jesus as Son of God, but you got to know, Jesus was born a man. He had to be a man. He had to live a man's life. He had to be tempted in the way every man is tempted, because God could not pay the debt for us because mankind owed the debt. So a man had to pay the debt. The penalty of sin was death. A man owed that penalty, and a man had to pay it. If you remember, even in Matthew chapter 26, Jesus goes to Gethsemane, and he's praying, and we see the manhood of Jesus when he said, "Lord, let this cup pass from me." The man Jesus didn't want to go through the suffering that he was about to have to go through. "Lord, let this cup." But we see in verse 39, "Nevertheless," help me out, "not my will, but yours be done." This man was about to pay the debt of sin, and that's what this entire Holy Week is all about. Now, it's important that we know Jesus was a man. He ate, he slept, he went to parties, he worked a job as a carpenter. I just started thinking just this week. Now, imagine a lady coming in and chewing Jesus out because her cabinet door didn't work right. Chewing on Jesus because the trim in her house didn't match, the corner bead didn't. Because I just know people and I know carpenters, and that's what they do. I mean, imagine Jesus getting chewed out because what he built, "Well, that wasn't what I showed you, ma'am. I did exactly what you told me. Well, I changed my mind and I wanted you to know that, and I didn't tell you, and you should." Anyway, you can picture chewing Jesus out because he didn't build your deal right. It's important that we know Jesus faced all that we face. He lived as a man. And the Bible says he was tempted in every way that we're tempted. And for 33 years, he was born a man, he lived a man. Now, what we're celebrating today, Palm Sunday, is this announcement of Jesus is king. Garments in the road, palm branches waving, people praising, riding into Jerusalem. Now, this was not unusual what he was doing. All kings celebrated victories like this. That's the way they did. But here's what's interesting. He didn't ride in on a white stallion. He rode in on a beast of burden, on a donkey. That's very significant. Over and over, Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." But they could only see the coming Messiah that had been prophesied for hundreds of years all through the Old Testament. They could only see the coming Messiah through the lens of history with God. Now let's go back. Moses delivered Pharaoh's rule, let out the whole army, drowned. I mean, wiped them out. Joshua delivered the promised land by war. The judges, You read all the Samson and Gideon and Deborah and on, the judges. We read about Samson grabbing the jawbone of a donkey and whipping 1,000 people with it. We read about Samson tying foxes' tails together, lighting them on fire, and burning down the Philistines' crops. War, war, war. So they're looking for this coming Messiah to do just what in history other deliverers have done. He's going to come in. We're going to defeat the Roman Empire, and Israel will be the ruler of the world. My kingdom is not of this world. Yeah, I know, but come on, let's get this thing. See, my kingdom, it would be a spiritual war. It would be a spiritual victory. Our problem, the problem with mankind, is not solved by war and defeat of the Roman Empire. Our problem is an internal problem. We're enslaved to sin. The devil had us. We were separated from God by sin, and there was no contact with God. And Jesus came to war with the devil, defeat the devil, strip the keys from the devil, and set us free, a spiritual victory. See, Rome wasn't our problem, and today people are not your problem. People are not your problem. Your battle is not with flesh and blood. Your problem is, and we all think it would be, our problem will be fixed if so-and-so would just do this, if they would just do that, if she would just shut her mouth. See, my whole problem in life would be if somebody would do something. People don't have to do anything. You've been set free inside. You've been set free inside. And the peace of the Lord Jesus can rule in your heart in the midst of the Roman Empire. When you see, and that's what Jesus continued to try to teach them. Couldn't get it. They could not get a spiritual war. And it's just like us today, looking for an outward fix to an inward problem. What else can I do? What else can I puff or do or schmuck? How much money can I how big a house, a new a car? We're looking for former deliverers. Here's the Messiah. He's coming. The Messiah's coming. We've been talking about this for hundreds of years. Ho, ho, ho. Did you just see what I saw? That blind guy got healed. Whoa, did you just see? 5,000 people got fed out of a little boy's lunchbox, a few fish and chips. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Dead people being raised. Whoa, Lazarus, come out of the tomb. Here comes Lazarus. He's the man. He's the man, the long-awaited Messiah. You remember the mother of the sons of thunder. Hey, you know, he'll sit here, I'll sit there, you know, everybody's starting to jockey for position. There's no doubt about it. He's the man. Samson don't have nothing on this guy right here. Judas just got sick and tired of waiting. Let's just force a showdown. A man powerful enough to yell down in a tomb to a man that's been dead for 3 days and that guy come walking out, do you think for 1 minute that he's going to let a few guys drag him and throw him in a dungeon? Do you think for 1 minute he's going to let those guys pull him out of a dungeon and whip him? Really? A guy that just steps up on the bow of the boat and says, peace, and the whole storm, I mean, all the waves just come. You think for 1 minute he's going to let 3 or 4 dudes whip on his back? No. Do you think he's going to let one guy come and spit in his face and cram thorns on his head? Ain't no way. Let's force this showdown. This man walks on the water. He calms storms. We're behind him. Let's roll. They just couldn't get it. It's a spiritual battle that's going on. And you and I need a spiritual victory. Jesus doesn't need to do one thing about your neighbor, about your kids, about this thing, Jesus doesn't need to do one thing about the economy. Jesus needs to fix you on the inside. That's where the battle is. And until we understand it's not flesh and blood, we're going to continue to miss what Holy Week is all about. How about this guy that owns the donkey? I mean, do you read over that too fast or do you read that slow and just think about that? You know, Terry and I don't know why this amuses us, but we talk about it all the time, about the seating arrangements in heaven. I don't know if you ever think about where everybody's going to sit, but we do. I'm just telling you, it's not going to be the big deal of the televangelist. It's not going to be the world leader. It's not going to be the presidents. It's not going to be the billionaires. I got an idea. This guy that owns a donkey, fixing to have him a real good seat. Church, don't ever underestimate the little, seemingly insignificant things that you do each and every day. Just think about this. Here's a man, got his donkey and his colt, and they're tied, and he said, here, God can use whatever I have. God can use whatever I have. Are we today willing to say, "With this stuff don't belong to you. You came here without it, and you're going to leave here without it. This, you're just managing what belongs to the Lord." And are we willing to say, God, you use whatever I have, whatever abilities, whatever access, whatever I can do, God, you use whatever I have, you have access. As we read tomorrow in our reading on Monday, and get this, make sure everybody, if you didn't get this, now get it before you leave today. On Monday, I want you to read this. Jesus is going to enter and clear the temple. For life under the old covenant, the temple was where God lived. Now, we got to understand, sin and God don't coexist. Light and dark, right and wrong can't be at the same time. God was separated from us, and he lived in that temple. That's what Jesus came to overthrow. The war that Jesus came to wage was the war of that veil. And he tore that veil, giving us access to God. See, life under the old covenant, we would take a perfect lamb without spot or blemish. Hands would be placed on that lamb's head to transfer our sin to that lamb. And then the priest would offer that sacrifice. That was life, a constant covering of our sin. As you read tomorrow's reading assignment, here's what took place on Monday of this week. Jesus cleansed and he cleared the temple, a den of thieves. I want you to notice, he did not wash anybody's feet in that temple. He did not wash the feet. In fact is, he wove a whip and drove them out and turned over their money tables. God requires his dwelling place to be holy, to be right, to be obedient to his word. This is a house of prayer. You're not turning it into a den of thieves. We're going to be in obedience to his word in this house. And God didn't change his standard. He's just changed his address in the new covenant. He lives in us. As you're reading that assignment tomorrow, read that about yourself. You are the dwelling place of God under the new covenant. And this is what God wants to live in. This woke movement, this TV ad now telling us Jesus washed feet. Well, absolutely he did. He washed the disciples' feet. But I want you to see tomorrow what Jesus did. He didn't go in and wash the feet of those in sin in there in disobedience to God. In fact is, there's not any feet washing going on here. Jesus turning over the money tables and driving them out of the temple. You're not turning God's house into this. That was the message. Tomorrow's reading, what Jesus did on Monday of Holy Week will show us what God thinks of sin. And he's not a fan. He's just not. Jesus was not against the Roman Empire. As a matter of fact, here, give me a coin. Whose picture? Give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. Jesus paid his taxes. Here, what I'm talking about is you give to God what belongs to God. And Jesus wages war on sin. Jesus wages war on sin. Now in the new covenant, and we're going to talk about this next Sunday as the events go all the way and end us at the end of next week. God lives inside us. We can talk with him. He never leaves us. He is there in times of trouble. We're not, God, where are you? Where are you? Whatever is happening in your day, here's what you need to know. God's right here. God's right here. God's right here. And here's what you need to know. God don't want any junk where he lives. He's not tolerant and he's not acceptant of sin. God don't want any junk in his house. Now, in your reading tomorrow, Jesus clears the temple, a revelation of how we're to live, holy, right, clean lives. Ask yourself before you go into that place, does God want to go in there? before those words come out of your mouth. Ask, does God want to be a part of this? Do we represent a den of thieves by our lifestyle? Our body under the new covenant now is the temple of God. And Jesus does not get you. He wants to change you. He wants to change you. Your sin is not okay with him. He wants to deliver you from that. A lot of reading on Tuesday. As we move to Tuesday, Jesus is teaching. A lot of teaching. Tuesday's a lot of reading. A lot of teaching. Now, here's what I want you to notice on Tuesday. First of all, let me say this. You need to be in church. You need to be in church every Sunday. If you can't be in this one, you need to be somewhere. Be in church. Be plugged into a church. Be committed. Be a part of the body of Christ. That's first. That's where you got to be. But here's what I want you to notice in your reading Tuesday. All of the teaching that takes place during the week, random places, walking down the road, out on a hill, we just have teaching moments every day. Throughout your day, you will have just them. What about the guy riding in the car with you? What about the buddy in the truck seat beside you as y'all are going down the road? There is teaching moments throughout the day. Living the God kind of life is not an hour and a half one morning a week. The God kind of life takes place day in and day out. A truck ride with a coworker, that's where God moves and that's where God uses you. Look where all the teaching took place on Tuesday as you read. It wasn't behind a podium somewhere. As we celebrate every day this week, Holy Week, do your reading each day. Stay up with this and celebrate the events of this week. Wow, that was a long time getting the introduction over. I need to get to my message. Here is the lightning rod. Here's what got Jesus crucified. Here is what got the religious leaders all up in arms and all jerked up. Here is the lightning rod, and you need to be aware of this. Matthew 21:23, when Jesus returned to the temple and began teaching, the leading priests and elders came up to him and they demanded, "By what authority are you doing these things? Who gave you the right?" The world is okay with a prophet. The world is okay with a teacher. The world is okay with a religious leader. Just not okay with the authority of Jesus. That's where the conflict comes in. And here's why the world has trouble with a Christian that stands on the authority of the word. Now you got to know this. You're a Muslim, that's good. You're a Buddhist, no problem. You're a Christian, oh, well, good. You're an atheist, good. Oh, no problem at all. But when a person hears and gets a hold of all authority on heaven and earth is, whoa. And he transfers that authority to his church, his body on the earth. That's where the conflict comes in. See, whenever I start saying, here's what God blesses and here's what God curses, that's where the problem comes in. See, you do your thing, I'll do mine. Jesus gets us. Love your neighbor. There's no conflict in loving your neighbor. There's no conflict in Jesus gets us. But when you bring out, I am the way, the truth, the life. Okay, are you ready? No one comes to the Father but through me. We got a problem. Here comes the hate mail. Here comes the emails. Here's what'll get you fired at your job. Here's what'll get you the hate at your work. Here's where all the problems start coming. And the only way that you're known as a child of God is in obedience to him. We got trouble. Jesus is the ultimate authority. Every knee bows. Every tongue confesses, living our life on this earth is not up to you to choose. It's not up to, who gave you the right? Here's what I'm telling you. It's not up to you to choose. There's not anything that Jesus taught or said that says, I'm okay, you're okay. You don't choose your gender, God does. You and I don't define marriage, God does. You and I don't define rights and wrongs, God does. All authority, our job is in obedience to him, and that's where the conflict comes. That's where it comes. As the church, Christ's body on this earth, We operate in delegated authority from him. Now we're commanded to teach all he taught us. And as we walk in the power over sin, as we walk in the authority in our lives, see, the authority in the name of Jesus, demons flee. In the name of Jesus, depression, you're not ruling my day. In the name of Jesus, moods, you don't control me. See, when you start walking in authority, that's where the conflict comes in. When Jesus said all authority, when Jesus is Lord, see, we got churches now teaching Jesus as a piece of pie in a buffet line. And you just, oh, I don't want, no, I don't like that kind of, oh, I'll take this, but no, I don't use that scripture. No, I'm not going to listen to that commandment, but oh, I'll have a piece of this. All authority. All authority. When all authority is given over to him in your life changes. We're good with prayer. Everybody's good with prayer. Airplane starts going down, everybody in it's praying. Whatever, I mean, all the heathens are praying. We're good with prayer. We're good with a prophet. We're good with religious leaders. We're good with music. We're good with singing. We're good with pray. We're good with worship. We're good with all that. But when all authority comes out, this is an abomination to God. This is cursed. This is sin. When that comes out, our carnal nature screams. That sinful flesh, see, that desire to gratify the flesh, that's what starts to scream. That's what starts the emails. That's what starts the parades. That's what starts the hate, is you're stepping on my flesh and my flesh is mad about it. The world doesn't have a problem. Jesus gets you. Jesus washing your feet. And I'm just amazed that we're doing commercials about Jesus washing his feet and there's no protest. Where's the groups mad and sending emails about that? See, they're not mad and sending emails about that because we don't have a problem with that. We got a problem with Jesus being Lord. Jesus being Lord. He is the authority figure in my life. I don't live doing what my sin nature wants me to do. I don't go here and entertain. I don't work here. I don't go there. I don't do this. God, what would you have me do? Where would you have me work? Where, church, would you have me be in? Where would you have me serve? God, what is your plan for my life? Where do you see all authority belongs to him? See, I can live listening to praise music and still gratify my flesh and do my own thing. We're talking about authority here. This is where the rub comes in. This is what baptism is all about. We're going to be doing this after second service next week. If you hadn't been baptized, you need to. It's a public statement for all to see that I am crucified with Christ. Bring your cameras. Come stand around. I want you watching. I'm making a public statement that I am joining him in his death and in his burial. And here I stand. This old, sinful, carnal-led man is going to die and going to be buried. I'm going to be buried under that water. And then when I come up, I'm going to be washed clean, a new man, a new creature in Christ. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. And now I'm going to join him in his resurrection. Because see, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that lives inside me. I don't live to please my sinful flesh. I don't, well, Tim, I just felt like it. Well, Tim, I was born this way. I get all of that. But I don't live to gratify that. I live to please the Lord of my life. If you've not been baptized, make plans to do so next week. Jesus is the authority figure of our life. Jesus gave that authority to the body of Christ, and we are to carry that out into the world. Our sin nature wants to decide right and wrong. The sin nature wants to gratify itself. Here's the problem with that. It doesn't work. Here's what it does. Kills, steals, and destroys. Only all the time. Little by little, you're losing your life. Little by little, life is being drained out of you. Yeah, you got some fun moments and you had some high moments, but there's no joy in your life. There's no peace in your life. And it's a slow inner death. who knows all about this? I lived for years trying to pull that off. I lived for years just trying to pull that off. The time comes when you get miserable, and you will. Everybody will. The time comes you get so miserable, so unhappy, and I know it will happen because that's where the sin nature leads. The sin nature leads to death and destruction in your own life. Living to satisfy the way you were born is why Jesus came, to free you from enslaved to that. You can write it down. A life of sin never, ever will bring life, because it can't. Jesus came to bring life, and life more abundant. Jesus came to free us from sin so that you can live in peace in your life. I don't know where it'll be for you, where it was for you, in your car, in your bedroom, out in the woods, on your job. I don't know where. You come to a place where you quit trying to silence Jesus. You come to a place where you quit trying to crucify Jesus. You come to a place where you quit persecuting the church. You finally come to a place where you quit posting on Facebook about the church, about the pastors, about all. You quit all of that and you say, God, forgive me. God, forgive me. Forgive me for all of it. I'm tired of being Lord of my life. I want to turn Lordship over to you. Today, what we call Palm Sunday is a celebration of Jesus' triumphal ride into Jerusalem, declaring that he is King of Kings and he's Lord of Lords. Maybe your whole life you've been along the side of the road waving palm branches and worshiping and praising him. Maybe you've been all on the side of the road just waving and carrying on, but you've never turned all authority over to him. You'll never know peace in your life until Jesus rides up in your life just like he did 2,000 years ago. You'll never know that kind of peace. The religious leaders of Jesus' day crucified him, silenced him, all because of the authority that he was. Today, I submit to that authority. I bow my knee to that authority. I confess, Jesus, you are Lord. It's Palm Sunday today. It's the first day of the most important week in the history of the world. Every day through next Sunday, we're going to celebrate. We're going to remember. We're going to be grateful. It'd sure be a lot better for you if you made him Lord. Y'all stand. Today, Lord, we submit to you. We submit to you. All over this place, if there's some in here that you've been on the side of the road waving palm branches for years, praising him, but you've never submitted to his lordship, I'm ready to live my life your way. I'm ready to live my life obedient to you. I'm ready to live my life according to your will. Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Wash me clean. Lord, today, not my will, but yours be done. All over this place, everybody, not my will, but yours be done. Not my will, but yours be done. Here I am, Lord. Here's my donkey. Here's my colt. You can use whatever I have. All that I have belongs to you. Use me, Lord, as I submit to your authority in my life. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a great week celebrating Holy Week.
Thank you for listening to this message from Christian Ministries Church. If this message impacted you and you'd like to sow into our ministry, you can give at cmchurch.com. If you'd like to listen to more of our messages, you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Just search for Christian Ministries. God bless.